My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Every Friday at this time, we're joined by John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom, where you can now custom fit for the new GT Metals from Titleist or the new Apex Irons from Callaway today. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Golf them by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Good morning, John.
Morning, fellas. How's everybody?
Doing great. It's all good. It's a Friday.
It's a Friday. Yep.
Friday.
Nice weather.
Yep.
Are you in town?
Beautiful here. I mean, it's actually a little chilly this morning.
Yeah.
Are you? Do you have plans? Are you traveling this weekend? What are you doing?
No, actually, we have plans. We're going to start trying to open boxes and unzip furniture that's wrapped up. I mean, the house looks like a warehouse right now.
Oh, that's brutal.
Just enough furniture that's usable for us to live in. But we got a lot of work to do over the weekend, my son and I.
Mm. Well, make him do it. That's what I keep saying.
I wish.
Yeah.
Well, you think he takes orders from me?
Right.
Well, I guess not.
Got to get your take. I know you don't particularly care about the Commanders, but it's
a big story.
It's a big story. They traded Jahan, their first-round pick from a couple years ago. Obviously, an indictment on all the draft picks from the Rivera regime, or at least what this regime thinks about some of them. What is this sort of your overall take? The most surprising nature of the thing was that they sent him to Philly. That really surprised me.
Division. Yeah, they will see him soon. I was surprised. You have to assume that Dan Quinn and his coaching staff know something about Jahan Dotson that we don't know in terms of his value. And that's why you would make a trade. They didn't get that much in return. What, a third-round pick, I think?
Third and actually a couple sevenths.
Third and two sevenths, and they gave up a fifth.
Yeah. They must feel, like I said, that his value has diminished. It's not like he's been bad the last couple of years. He's not been great, but I thought he was certainly good enough to be a number three receiver. They must think they have somebody in camp who can step in and be the number three receiver, but it certainly surprised me. I was actually driving to Richmond yesterday when I heard about this, because I've been in a recording studio the last couple of days for the Ancient Eight book. So it did catch me off guard.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, then trading him to a division rival.
Which you don't do that very often.
You don't do it very often, right?
No, not just football.
Well, that kind of backs what you're saying. They clearly felt like, all right, well, he ain't that great because we'll even give him to Philly.
Yeah, and he won't come back and hurt us, and we'll see about that. That one caught me a little bit off guard, I got to say.
Right. Yeah, all of us, actually.
But how are you?
You got to give Adam Peters one thing. He's not timid.
Yeah.
He's not timid.
Well, and that's also, I think, and we're kind of taking calls throughout the show about this. You kind of have to trust. Some people are for it. Some fans are against it.
Right.
You kind of have to trust that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and Kingsbury, they know what they're kind of looking for. They know what they're doing here.
And if they don't know what they're doing, they won't be here that long.
They won't. You're right.
But you know, it goes back to me when fans say, you know, Adam Peters is wrong or whomever is wrong or right, whatever, is an old story that Terry Holland told me when he was coaching in Virginia. He was at a party one night, and a guy came up to him and said, Coach, do you mind if I give you some advice about your team? And Terry said, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, what do you mean? And Terry looked at the guy and said, you're a surgeon. You trained all your life. How would you like it if I walked in when you were performing surgery? He said, no, don't do that. Do this.
Hmm.
And he said, well, but I've been doing this. I'm a professional. And Terry said, so am I.
Hmm.
And Adam Peters is supposed to be a professional. And if you're a fan, you better just hope he knows what he's doing.
Until proven otherwise, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Your colleague.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Your colleague, Barry Svrluga, who I really, really like, wrote a column, and I can't say that I read the whole column. We've just read excerpts. But his kind of summary of the trade, his feeling is this tells you that they don't think they're going to be very competitive and that, you know, they could afford to trade him and, you know, just build assets for the future. I think that's an interesting take. My take is, so he's taking it as this is an indictment on the team. My opinion is this is an indictment on Jahan, not the team.
Yeah, I would lean more your way.
Yeah.
I understand what Barry's saying. And, you know, with all the hoopla about how Jaden Daniels is going to go to the Hall of Fame in October,
mm-hmm.
He's still going to be a rookie quarterback. They still have a questionable offensive line. There's good reason to believe that they're still a year away from being competitive. Now, sometimes teams jump up,
for sure,
in the NFL in particular, and get much better from one season to the next. They were 4-13 a year ago. But remember the Robert Griffin year, when they kind of came out of nowhere and made it to the playoffs before he got hurt in the Seattle game. So while on the one hand you can say, well, maybe Jaden will be so good that we'll sneak into the playoffs the way Robert Griffin was. But on the other hand, more realistically, you're building. You're trying to get better for next year and the year after. It's a long-term thing. So I tend to disagree with what Barry is saying, that this is an indictment of this team, but I can see where people would think that.
We're
giving up a good player for, you know, a third and a couple sevenths, and a third can be a big asset ultimately down the road. Sevenths, you know, except for miracles, are fringe guys. But I understand where Barry's going with that.
He's taking, in my opinion, he's taking the tack that if you gave the coaches over there and the GM truth serum, that they would tell you that they got worse by getting rid of them. I think if you gave them truth serum, they would say, we're no worse. We'll be just as fine with these other guys, X, Y, and Z, because this kid,
and we got a third-round pick.
Yeah, and we're still building. It doesn't mean they think that they're going to the Super Bowl. It doesn't mean they think they're going to win three games.
I think that if you gave them truth serum, they'd say, Jahan sucks.
They might.
And we got something out of him. You know, we got a third round pick out of him. And at this point, now getting a third for a guy who was a first is not, a great thing. But as you said, that was a past regime.
Right, right. It's so fun to debate this stuff. I'm ready for the games to start.
Yeah.
God, I do love arguing about it.
Are you ready for the NFL season or do you not?
You're lucky you get paid to argue about it.
I know.
John, are you ready for the season to start?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm ready for the season to start. The Mets are still in contention,
yep.
So I'm still into baseball. But yeah, I'm more ready. You guys know me. I'm more ready for college football to start.
Well,
and
I wanted to ask you about that because I was reading. You know, Florida State's going to play Georgia Tech in Ireland,
right.
And I have no idea what the country of Ireland is giving these schools. They're clearly doing it for a paycheck. But
yes.
I was reading a story about all the things that they have to pack up. You know, Florida State plays Georgia Tech in a regular season conference game here. They just bust everything. You should have seen all the stuff that they have to list and pack up. It's like 50,000 pounds of stuff, you know, equipment that they've got to ship over to Ireland. I mean, it just seems like a pain in the butt. And all the passports they've got to do. But for this paycheck, it's got to be a huge paycheck to bring Florida State and Georgia Tech to Dublin.
Well, as you know, Navy has played Notre Dame over there a couple of times. And the way it works is pretty simple. It's in the contract, the cost of getting everything over there.
Right.
So the schools don't lose any money. Their equipment guys and managers are the ones who suffer.
Oh, yeah.
And the school just rakes in the money the way it always happens in college sports.
Yeah. Well, and for Ireland, I mean, I get it. They want to bring American sports over there.
They do.
And, you know, you're going to bring a bunch of Florida State fans and, Georgia, you know, people from Atlanta.
Right.
I guess they've done the math that they're going to get a bunch of people over there and they're going to spend money in Dublin and then eventually maybe plan more trips in the future.
It's that way all the time that, you know, they count on the fact that people are going to want to travel to Ireland, which is a beautiful place. And they will spend money, obviously, over there. You're not going to have poor people getting on airplanes to go over to see the game. And that they will recoup all or at least part of what they're spending to get the teams over there. Nobody is thinking about this in terms of, like, let's do this because it's a great thing for the players.
No, it's all
like
it's always about
money. To make money.
Of course.
And make the TV networks happy, which is always important.
Are you, I think I've asked you this, but you were for the 12-team playoff, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I pushed for it probably on this show for years.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, people would say, oh, well, it's so great that the regular season has so much meaning because only four teams get in. Okay, fine. But my feeling is that what will happen now is people will be fighting for those top four seeds to get a bye. The next four will be fighting to play at home in the first round rather than on the road. And the last four, in like the NCAA tournament, will be fighting just to get in. Mm-hmm. You know, there'll be bubble teams. And I think it's a good thing. I mean, they didn't do it, again, for any reason other than to make more money, and they will make a hell of a lot more money. But I think it's a good thing. My criticism will be if they don't use at least one or two spots for a group of five teams. Because one of the things that always bothered me was that if you were undefeated in the group of five, often as not, you still didn't get into the tournament. Cincinnati did a few years ago, but they were an exception. And most of the time, you know, they would say, oh, but they didn't play a tough enough schedule. Half the reason they didn't play a tough enough schedule was because the power teams wouldn't play them.
Mm-hmm. Well, the
look at Boise State all those years.
Well, the highest ranking group of five champion is going to get in.
Yeah, they have to.
Yes. But so you're going to have one at least every year.
They'll have one at least. And under the old system, they got into at least one major bowl with a group of five champion or whomever was considered a group of five champion.
Think about this with conference realignment. And it's crazy that we're talking about the ACC and Cal and Stanford and SMU are in it. California, think about this.
That first Big Ten matchup between USC and Maryland.
Right. Think about this. Cal has to week two has to fly to Auburn. Okay. Week four, they have to fly to Florida State. Week six, they have to fly to Pitt. And in week 10, they have to fly to Wake Forest.
Yeah.
I mean that is brutal.
Yeah, no, that has to be fixed. And remember that all of the non-revenue teams from these schools, when they have to play East or East teams have to play West, they ain't flying on a charter. They're flying through Chicago.
Right.
So it's going to be tougher on the non-rev kids than the revenue kids, because the revenue kids at least get to fly on charters. But having flown cross country, we've all done it. It doesn't matter how you fly; you're tired.
Oh, I know. I mean, that's just brutal. I don't care if you're 19 or 20. That's hard.
When I was in my early 20s, I did a lot of flying for the post, and it wore me out. And I was 22, 23 years old.
Yeah.
Talking to best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein, how surprised are you that your guy Bill Belichick is not going to have one, not two, not three, four regular gigs in the media talking football this offseason?
Well, the thing about Bill is that people miss is if he wants to be entertaining, if he wants to be smart, if he wants to be funny, he can do it. I've seen him do it. And he obviously wants to have success with all these new gigs that he's got. And it'll be I think he'll be good. I think he'll be good. I think Brady's going to be good. Brady so far has shown a penchant for wanting to say things that get people's attention. And if he continues to do that when he's on television, he'll be good. Now, the one thing I saw in one interview was that he wasn't going to be critical of quarterbacks the way he was critical of himself, because he was very self-critical. That's what made him so – one of the things that made him so great. Mm-hmm. But if he's real, then I think he'll be good. If Belichick is the real Belichick, he'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's going on Pat McAfee Show weekly. He'll be on the Manning Cast weekly. He's on Inside the NFL and I'm missing one, but he's going to be –
he's all over the place.
But he supposedly wants to get back into coaching.
Do you think he ever coaches again?
That's a great question, and I wish I knew the answer because then I'd be smart. I think if the right team gave him the right deal, as in you're in complete control, he'd coach again. I think he's probably not happy to going out the way he went out in New England. And if he's healthy, which is always a question when you get to be over 70 or any age, actually, he might coach again. Or he might just settle down in Annapolis and do a lot of TV.
Yeah, was doing that for this year. I think he's, at least through the media, put it out that he wants to get back to coaching. And last year, actually, he put it out there that he didn't necessarily have to be in total control. But who knows?
Well, except when the Falcons talked to him and said, you can't be in total control, he kind of balked and then didn't get the job.
Yeah.
Maybe he thought he could balk and still get the job. I don't know.
Yeah. Hmm. All right, John, we'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.
Look forward to it. Are they playing a couple college football games tomorrow?
Tomorrow? They're playing. There's four, but there's only one that you're probably interested in, and that's the one in
Dublin. My point is this. Next week is week zero in the NCAA, right?
No, this week is week zero.
This week is week zero.
Yeah, Labor Day weekend is week one.
I love the fact that, that they call it week zero to avoid people talking about how long the season is.
Yeah, but
that's why I asked you the question.
Yeah, but next week there's some interesting matchups.
Week one next week.
Week one next week.
Bucknell.
Correct.
Right.
All right.
All right. Have a good weekend, bud.
Thank you, John.
Who did you say? Bye. Somebody against Bucknell? Who was that?
Is that who Navy's opening up?
Oh, okay. Navy. Bucknell.
Makes sense.
That's John Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom, where you can now custom fit for the new GT Metals from Titleist, or get custom fit on the new Apex Irons from Callaway today. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Coming up next, EB's Entertainment Page here on The Junkies.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
All right, we spent a ton of time this morning talking about the Jahan Dotson trade, our training camp coverage on 106.7 The Fan, presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenry'sWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. We talked a little college football with John Feinstein. We're going to talk to the head coach of Virginia Tech, Coach Brent Pry, coming up at 9:20. For right now, we open up EB's entertainment page.
All right, guys, EP, driven by BMW of Fairfax. He may not be the most interesting man in the world, but my guy, Mike Walker, over at BMW of Fairfax, has no interest in charging you interest. It's 2.99% on most X-Series models. I've got the X5. Absolutely love it. Had the X3, also another great vehicle. The X7, that's an elite vehicle. Got to be big silly to get that one. Highly recommend it. They've got everything you want. All right, it's crazy. There's so much going on. We don't. This is a weird. I mean, how rich do you have to be? Jeff Bezos,
interested in buying the Celtics? Apparently, right?
Well, that or is I, definitely a story.
Am I wrong on that one?
No, I think it's rumored.
Yeah,
I don't know that Bill Simmons threw it out there. Yeah, I don't know that it's been confirmed. But apparently, Jason, imagine having this much money. That he's now bought his fourth private jet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why on earth he needs four jets? I mean, you do you. I don't care. But, I mean, he's just literally just blowing money. He needs a fourth private jet.
He could rent them out.
Maybe he is. Maybe he's using it. Maybe he's using it for business.
Yeah.
$80 million, and it flies near the speed of sound.
Oh, that's silly.
Can you imagine?
What is it?
It's a maximum range of 7,500 nautical miles. It's a Gulfstream G700.
Mm.
It can reach top speeds, this means nothing to me, of Mach 0.925.
What's that?
92.5% the speed of sound around, so this is how fast it goes, 710 miles per hour.
How fast did Concords go back in the day?
Oh, they
I mean,
moved.
I'm definitely intrigued by that. Like, you hate long trips on a plane. Imagine if you can get to a destination half the time.
All right, like, here's a question.
I'll fly to L.A. to visit Kelsey 5 hours. If I get there 2.5 hours, why wouldn't I do that?
I don't know how fast the Concorde was, but a jumbo jet if you're on United and you go over the Atlantic Ocean to Europe.
Yeah.
They're probably getting to like 36 to 38,000 feet, and they're probably going, I'm guessing, 500 miles per hour, somewhere
mm-hmm.
in there.
Mm-hmm.
But that Gulfstream,
yeah,
that's going much higher than 38,000, and it's going much faster.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's going 200 miles per hour faster.
So you get to L.A. from here, or to Pebble, let's say, if you were using that one in an probably about 3 hours.
In that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My math is...
No, you're right. It's about 5.5 hours to L.A.
So the Concorde was a little more than 1,300 miles.
What? What do you mean?
That's the Concorde.
That's how far it could go?
No, that's how fast it went. 1,300 miles per hour.
So it broke the speed of sound?
So it was going double?
So it was making a sound burst or whatever every time it would take off or whatever, or when it would reach its top speed?
Yeah, it could get from London to New York in 2 hours and 52 minutes.
What's the normal time?
It was Mach 2.04.
What's the normal time?
London to New York?
Six hours.
It's probably might be seven.
Uh-huh. Man, that's wild.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, JP, I know that
I do remember this. Two Pebble trips ago, my buddy Carl rented a private. And it was so smooth and so comfortable. And got there quick, and you've got, one flight attendant, but, then you got whatever you want, drinks, food, it's all there. That's the way to fly.
Of course.
And I was obviously, I was very, very happy with that trip.
You're very lucky.
I was very lucky to know Carl and that Carl could do that. And then when I had to fly commercial again, I hated it.
You felt like a pauper.
Yeah.
Even though you were in first class.
Even when you're in first class.
I'm confident saying I'll probably go my entire life never going on a private jet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I've ever been in first class. The only way I'm not going to rule that one out is every once in a while they have empty seats, or they might just move you, like you'll get hooked. I'll never buy first class tickets.
Yeah, I'm never paying for it. Yeah.
I found this out this week. It's just related to Jeff Bezos, which I found somewhat fascinating, and maybe it's part of his success. Do you know in his meetings, something that's unique about a Jeff Bezos meeting?
Oh, yes. That they read the notes together. And then they, because he doesn't just, because he assumes they're not going to read. So they sit down in a conference room and they all, in a meeting, they all read.
He doesn't allow bullet points.
Yes.
So most people have bullet point presentations and might give you something with bullet points. He does it narrative style.
Mm.
Well, the part I said is also true.
Yeah.
So he says, if I give you a report, and it's a 200-page report, I'm going to assume most of you guys are lazy. You know, just
no,
we all are. No one's going to read the whole thing.
Skim it.
So we're all going to sit down in here, and for an hour, we're going to read, and then we'll discuss.
Well, just like I just did, I did what he doesn't want. I just Googled it to remind myself, and it says, Bezos doesn't use PowerPoint or bullet point lists because writing a narrative forces you to explicitly state all your assumptions and complete your thoughts.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, dude. I mean, it works for him, obviously. you know, can't even relate to
PowerPoint.
These guys. But just getting back to the, you know, we talked about it many, many times about how we'd like to have a jetpack and all that stuff. We're getting closer and closer to that, as we've talked about many times before. There's a bunch of daredevils, a bunch of entrepreneurs that are building these personal aircraft that are essentially drones. They're just little larger drones, right? With the four or five little helicopter thing, little fans or whatever. And they're standing on them and they're flying around. I mean, one guy admit they did a video and the guy admit, yeah, it's hard to avoid the power lines. Like, would you? I mean,
I would never do that.
I don't think I could ever do that.
No way.
I mean, I'd play around with one on a football field, but you're right. You're probably going to decapitate yourself.
Yeah, you're going to fly into something, and you're going to fall. Like,
you better have some supreme confidence in the way you, I guess you would say, fly it.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I think that...
So you wouldn't do that, actually.
I mean, not until it was safe and tested out.
Let's say it was all safety, and it all worked, and it had double, triple backups, and you're not going to fall out of the sky. But you still have to pay attention and not fly into a tree or to a power line or to a building.
I guess if I felt it was safe, sure.
You think you could navigate?
He would do it, but I would never do it.
Like, I
wouldn't trust the technology, and I wouldn't trust myself. And I wouldn't trust other people.
But I do think we're getting closer to Jetsons. You know, like the Jetsons.
Well, that's what it is.
But the problem is the landmines out there. It's not just power lines. Like, I don't know how high you would fly up on those things, but imagine, like, you go to Baltimore, you go through a tunnel. Yeah, there's like a million things out there.
Well, you don't need a tunnel.
I guess you go way over the tunnel.
You don't need a tunnel.
I don't know what the gas situation
is. Yeah, but you know how freaked out you would be if you're up 50 feet on that
right
thing?
I would be terrified.
Yeah, you'd be freaked out.
I couldn't.
I would never do that.
Yeah. Anyway.
You ever seen those things usually at beaches? I'm sure they might have it in the Bahamas, Atlantis. Those things where basically people go on a jetpack, but there's a tube and it's over water.
Yeah.
I think it sprays water.
Yeah.
Those things look fun.
I just like jet skis.
All right, we're
being on the water, not above the water.
Seinfeld did a bit joning on jet skis the other night.
Why?
Well, he just said it's a piece of technology that's built not to go anywhere. You end up where you start.
Yeah, so what's wrong with that?
I don't know. He hates people who woo. He just did a whole thing.
It's fun.
It was good.
Seinfeld, I rented
good
jet skis with my son and my daughter, and we drove around on them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after about 15 minutes, I was
after 15
it
minutes. Yeah, I mean, a half hour is good.
I don't have a burning desire. Honestly, I don't think I need to ever do it again. It was
I did it with my daughters in the Bahamas. It was
fun. They're fun. You're not into, I mean,
what am I supposed to do?
Jet skis is almost like a roller coaster or something. Just people like the speed.
You
like
just go fast.
Wind,
yeah, you go as fast as you can.
Bouncing around.
And you get airborne.
Yeah, I don't get sized to be airborne. I don't get sized to lose control. Maybe that's why I don't like it. I mean, it was fine.
But back in the day, when you had your Corvette,
and maybe if you're lucky, you see some fish.
The Corvette, though, wasn't part of it to kind of go fast and feel the speed. So a jet ski, even though it's a lower speed because it's on water and it's outside, it feels faster.
Yeah, but I feel like I have more control of a car, maybe, than I do a boat.
I just think it's the same kind of thrill.
Well, I like the 0 to 60. I like the acceleration. I get off. I like that. That's what that is the attraction of the electric cars and how quick they are. All right, so
that's not just the attraction. The attraction is you have to get gas all the time.
Yeah, but you got to pay for electricity. It's kind of shocking. Like, I don't
depends.
Think
there's a lot of people. I got a buddy, and Cakes does it. He just fuels up at work every day.
Right.
Got a buddy does the same
Cakes
thing.
Cakes also has to go down there at 8 a.m. every day.
Well, that's because some guy.
Because everyone's battling for it and they don't have enough things. So we have a YouTube channel, right, for the station.
106.7 The Fan.
Right. Want everybody.
Mike Marr's doing a great
job.
Make
sure you do that. Make sure you are subscribing to the podcast, subscribing to the stream, right, and to the YouTube channel. How many subscribers do we have to the YouTube channel there?
27,600.
That seems like a pretty good number, right?
Yeah.
Pretty good number for something that we were newly promoting.
Yeah, and steady climbing, especially with football season. Good expectations for this.
And then is the company happy with you and what you're doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually had a meeting with them last week, and they said, I'm doing a great job. So.
Right. Imagine if Cristiano Ronaldo just launched his YouTube channel. In 2 days, he's got 30 million subscribers.
Yeah, we don't hold a candle to that.
Yeah, right.
Unfortunately.
30 million.
I guess we need to show more abs.
30 million subscribers in 2 days.
We need to add some abs and score goals.
By the way, what happened? Has anything happened with my guy, iShow Speed, since he jumped over to two cars like in the last couple weeks?
Well, a lot of people think that's fake.
They still think it's fake.
Yeah, I mean, people have shown how you can easily edit that video and make it look fake.
Really?
Yeah, Speed's everywhere. I mean, he was at the Fanatics thing. He was with Ronaldo the other day.
I follow the guy. I don't know. He's not showing up on my feed, though. Maybe I need to say, I show speed. Maybe he'll start showing up.
Yeah, he was in an MMA octagon with Aiden Ross, another popular streamer, in front of Dana White, and choked out Aiden Ross, made him tap out.
So you're saying he still could have faked that even though it was a live stream?
I think that was the
whole point. That was the way of debunking it, by doing it on his live.
I don't know. I'm willing to bet that with all the advancements, he's not jumping over a Lamborghini driving at 40 miles an hour, whatever it was, two times in a minute. He's not risking his life for that. But I don't know. Maybe I've been wrong
there
before.
There are daredevils.
Yeah.
I mean, people do dumb ass all the time. People climb without ropes. People scale buildings. People jump off stuff. People climb to the top of a cliff to take a picture, donk themselves off. People are stupid.
Just think. So iShow Speed is one of the most famous influencers, whatever you want to call it, creators in the world.
Yeah.
He's got now less followers on YouTube than Ronaldo, who's been on for 2 days.
Yeah. I mean, the power of soccer internationally is
30
insane.
Million?
Yeah. It's insane. 2 days.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It's insane. So,
but that kid's 19 and... Mega, mega rich, right?
Ooh, speed. I show speed? Yeah, oh yeah. And last but not least, that guy from the Olympics with the glasses, the pommel horse guy, who I guess helped clinch their bronze, they're all size four. He's going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Is he?
There you go. Why not? Capitalize
on that
fame. Who's the host
of that show?
I don't know. They fired that one dude, right? And he was bitter.
Tom Bergeron.
Did they fire him? Or
I don't
is he
know.
Still there? I thought they fired him and he was bitter.
I feel like I saw who was the host.
Is it like Mario Lopez or somebody like that?
Well, that's a good call.
Oh, I think it might be Alfonso Ribeiro.
Oh,
I don't know.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. Look it up. Whatever. We obviously don't watch that show. But there you go. The guy with the glasses,
but
if you fell in love
Steven
with him.
Nadarasik.
All right. If you fell in love with him, you can watch him on Dancing with the Stars. He's trying to keep up with the hot Tua girl, who still is getting pub.
Remember, coming up at 9:20, we got the head coach of Virginia Tech football, Brent Pry, here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Sports show brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator. You can find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. EB, you've lamented a few times that this particular version of Hard Knocks, focusing on the Chicago Bears,
boring.
Is boring.
You don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Do you know one big difference between this particular version of Hard Knocks and the 23 years of Hard Knocks?
No cursing.
No cursing.
Oh, they don't allow
that,
really?
Cuss words.
It's the McCaskies.
Really?
They don't approve. They don't want the organization to look trifling.
The producer said that they actually do curse less as a team, but they've had to take it all out.
Really?
Because of the McCaskey
thing. I mean, it's an impossible task the GM to coach football and not curse.
Yeah. I remember the Lions coaches would curse all the time.
Right.
Well, Rex Ryan, one of the most famous, he's cursed.
And then the GM of the Giants in the offseason Hard Knocks, Joe Shane.
Yeah.
He was dropping F-bombs all the time.
Well, they were just normal guys.
They're just normal people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love cursing.
I don't get that.
So maybe that is the missing piece, EB, why you're bored with the Chicago Bears.
It's the personality.
It's his personality. And
and he's not a Caleb guy.
Caleb's kind of interesting, but I don't know. I'll tell you what. Caleb's got a lot of pressure on him. One thing I noticed yesterday is they're really babysitting him. He has to basically sit down with Eberflus. What's Eberflus's background? Is he an OC?
Defensive guy.
He's a defensive guy. He has to sit down with Eberflus, it seems like, every day.
But Brady did that with Belichick, and Belichick's a defensive guy.
I'm not saying it's because he's defensive. I was just asking for context.
Yeah.
He sits down with Eberflus every day, and they're like, so what did you learn today? I could see myself. Jason couldn't do it. I could see myself even like, oh, dreading it. I got to go sit down with Coach, and I got to ponder life, every day.
We got to recap the day.
I got to recap the throw and what I saw, what look it was,
Well, don't think that most, if not all, coaches do that with their young quarterbacks?
I think they do it like when they're with their individual teams, with their quarterback coach, and they do it in film and all this stuff. But, because he's the whole franchise future, everyone's future is hanging on this kid.
They want to make sure he's prepped.
They are. I mean, this kid, he's put through the ringer.
And they might know that he can handle it, too. So
he seems unfazed.
I'll tell you what, man. There's a lot of expectations for the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
He said something, Jason, I would love to get your take on. I tweeted about it late last night. So I'm watching Hard Knocks before I go to bed. So I'm winding down. He said they're about to have, it was his first appearance, I guess, at a preseason game. I could barely pay attention to it. It's so boring. But he said,
can't believe you were actually watching
Caleb Williams.
It.
Huh?
Eberflus or Caleb Williams?
Caleb Williams. Yeah. He was about to go on the field or whatever, and they said, you nervous, man? And he goes, I never get nervous. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, he goes, last time I was nervous was freshman year in high school against Gilman, and he gave an instance, and he said, then I threw two touchdowns, he said, I've never been nervous since.
Since, really.
Now, I have a hard time relating to that because I get anxious about everything. But especially something that's important to me, I get anxious about. I'm not particularly anxious right now doing the show, but there are times where I would get nervous if we have a big interview or, we have an important
topic.
Yeah,
you're going to feel like you're prepped. My high school basketball coach, Morgan Wooten, would always say pregame. Are you nervous?
Yeah.
And some guys would say yes, some guys would say no. He'd say, if you're not nervous, you're not ready to play.
100%.
I think there's a different perception. I mean, I think some people will say
some people believe that.
Some people, in the Olympics, for these gold medal games, some of them said that they felt nerves. But then others are like, they just treat it like it's every game. So he's treating it like, I've done this a million times. I have supreme confidence in myself. And it also might just be bravado, too, to say that.
Right. I mean, he's on camera.
He might deep down be nervous, but he projects all the time.
Now, he could get. Of course. Now, maybe his version of being nervous is just getting real hyped up or pumped for a game or a play. But there's got to be anxiety with a professional athlete.
I mean, when he cried in his mama's arms after they lost that game, right, in the stands, you're telling me then he didn't have any anxiety or any nerves leading up to obviously an important game? Like, it doesn't make sense.
He might just not define it as nervous.
Yeah, the other weird part about, and we're going to see this over the next couple of years, is some of these guys, like Caleb Williams, he's already made millions of dollars before he steps into the NFL. Like,
well,
it's
NIL.
Going to with the NIL money being so extreme. A lot of these guys, they'll probably stay in college longer because they can make more money.
Of course.
And then that's when you're going to really find out if they care to be great. Don't have to be great. He's already made his millions in college.
Well, I mean,
a contract. You know, we'll see. Like, that's, and I said that, it's great that we're hearing that Jaden Daniels is a grinder. It seems like he's a grinder, showing up at 5:30 in the morning, first guy there, and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things you just don't know. Like, maybe all these quarterbacks will hit, Bo Nix and all these people, but you just don't know. And I do think there are other factors like, well, do they have much help? That's why I question the Jahan Dotson thing is, you're taking away a potential chess piece, right? And the job that Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury, in my opinion, the job was, all right, this is a chess piece who has produced in the past, who's produced more than everybody else besides Terry McLaurin on that receiving core. We got to figure out how to best utilize that chess piece.
They decided,
and this, you were gone, like,
I was pooping.
Going to the bathroom or something. I mentioned there were two things about Jahan Dotson. One, and I don't know Barstool Nate's sources, but he showed a tweet that he sent last year to J.P. Finley saying Jahan, he's hearing that Jahan has some attitude issues.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also, and I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but on social media, people noted an old tweet where he called the Saquon Barkley move a mutt move, which is Madden Ultimate Team, and that he was jocking the Eagles. People found that kind of curious.
Mm.
So we just don't know what happened. Like, you can say, well, he wasn't producing, the other guys are better, but we don't know. Like, you brought up the body language thing that B. Mitch had brought up. We don't know about the attitude and all those type of things. Jason theorizing first-round pick may feel like it's beneath him to be competing for a job.
I think,
like,
all those things are true.
Yeah.
I think every single thing that you said is true.
I mean, we could have. I had heard from one person, one source, that he was a great guy.
Yes,
and that person might think that. But Cliff Kingsbury, Dan Quinn, they might think the complete opposite about him. We have no idea.
They have only said glowing things to their credit.
Yeah, I mean,
doesn't mean that's necessarily what they think, but they've only said glowing things. My counter to the chess piece argument is, sure, he's a chess piece. They decided he's a pawn, and we got like 10 of them.
Right, he might be a pawn.
Yeah, he ain't a queen.
He looked like a.
He's not even a silly bishop.
He looked like maybe a bishop.
He's not a rook.
Last year, he looked like a pawn.
No, we got 10 guys just like him.
Yeah,
that's the count.
That may be true. Hey, when we hit the skins, it's brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case? Sip a refreshing 12-ounce can. Grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES for 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great. Welcome back. Sports show brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator. You can find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. You know, EB, you've lamented a few times that this particular version of Hard Knocks,
mm-hmm.
focusing on the Chicago Bears,
boring.
Is boring.
I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it yesterday.
One big difference between this particular version of Hard Knocks and the 23 years of Hard Knocks?
No cursing.
No cursing.
Oh, they don't allow
that,
really?
Cuss words.
It's the McCaskies.
Really?
They don't approve. They don't want the organization to look trifling.
The producer said that they actually do curse less as a team, but they've had to take it all out.
Really?
Because of the McCaskey
thing. I mean, it's an impossible
because
task
the GM
to coach
the
football and not curse.
Yeah. I remember the Lions coaches would curse all the time.
Right.
Well, Rex Ryan, you're being one of the most famous, he's cursed.
And then the GM of the Giants in the offseason Hard Knocks,
mm-hmm.
Joe Shane.
Yeah.
He was dropping F bombs all the time.
Well, they were just normal guys.
They're just normal people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love cursing.
I don't get that.
That is the missing piece, EB, why you're bored with the Chicago Bears.
It's the personalities, probably.
It's his personality. And
he's not a Caleb guy.
Caleb's kind of interesting, but I don't know. I tell you what, Caleb's got a lot of pressure on him. One thing I noticed yesterday is they're really babysitting him. He has to basically sit down with Eberflus. What's Eberflus's background? Is he an OC?
Defensive guy.
He's a defensive guy. He has to sit down with Eberflus, it seems like, every day.
But Brady did that with Belichick, and Belichick's defensive guy.
I'm not saying it's because he's defensive. I was just asking for context.
Yeah.
He sits down with Eberflus every day, and they're like, so what did you learn today? I could see Jason couldn't do it. I could see myself even like, oh, dreading it. I got to go sit down with coach, and I got to ponder life, every day.
We got to recap the day.
I got to recap a throw and what I saw, what look it was. You know,
well, you don't think that most, if not all, coaches do that with their young quarterbacks?
I think they do it like when they're with their individual teams, with their quarterback coach, and they do it in film and all this stuff. But, you know, because they, you know, he's the whole franchise future, everyone's future is hanging on this kid.
They want to make sure he's prepped.
They are, I mean, this kid, he's put through the ringer.
And they might know that he can handle it too, so.
He seems unfazed.
I'll tell you what, man, there's a lot of expectations for the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
He said something, Jason, yeah. I would love to get your take on. I tweeted about it late last night. So I'm watching Hard Knocks before I go to bed. So I'm winding down. He said they're about to have, it was his first appearance, I guess, at a preseason game. I could barely pay attention to it. It's so boring. Mm-hmm. But he said.
Can't believe you were actually
Caleb
watching
Williams.
It.
Huh?
Eberflus or Caleb Williams?
Caleb Williams. Yeah. He was about to go on the field or whatever, and they said, "You nervous, man?" And he goes, "I never get nervous." And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, he goes, "Last time I was nervous was freshman year in high school against Gilman," and he gave an instance, and he said, "Then I threw two touchdowns, and I've never been nervous since."
Since, really.
I have a hard time relating to that because I get anxious about everything. But especially something that's important to me, I get anxious about. I'm not particularly anxious right now doing the show, but there are times where I would get nervous if we have a big interview or, you know what I mean? We have an important topic.
Yeah, you
want to
feel like you're prepped. My high school basketball coach, Morgan Wooten, would always say pregame. Are you nervous?
Yeah.
And some guys would say yes, some guys would say no. He would say, if you're not nervous, you're not ready to play.
100%.
I think there's a different perception. I mean, I think some people will say
some people probably believe that.
Some people in the Olympics for these gold medal games,
mm-hmm.
some of them said that they felt nerves. But then others are like, they just treat it like it's every game. So he's treating it like, I've done this a million times. I have supreme confidence in myself. And it also might just be bravado, too, to say that.
Right. I mean, he's
he
on
might
camera.
Deep down be nervous, he, but he just that's what
course.
He projects all the
now,
time.
Now, he could get.
Of course.
Now, maybe his version of being nervous is just getting real hyped up or pumped for a game or a play. But there's got to be anxiety with a professional athlete.
I mean, when he cried in his mama's arms after they lost that game, right, in the stands, mm-hmm. you're telling me then he didn't have any anxiety or any nerves leading up to obviously an important game? Like, it doesn't make sense
to me. He might just not define it as nervous.
You know, the other weird part about, and we're going to see this over the next couple of years, is some of these guys, like Caleb Williams, he's already made millions of dollars before he steps into the NFL. Like,
well,
it's
NIL.
Going to change. Right. Yeah. With the NIL money being so extreme, a lot of these guys, they'll probably stay in college longer because they can make more money.
Of course.
And then that's when you're going to really find out if they care to be great. So I have to be great. He's already made his millions in college.
Well, I mean,
get a contract. You know, we'll see. Like, that's, and I said that. It's great that we're hearing that Jaden Daniels is a grinder. It seems like he's a grinder. Showing up at 5:30 in the morning, first guy there, and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things you just don't know. Like, maybe all these quarterbacks will hit, Bo Nix and all these people, but you just don't know. And I do think there are other factors like, well, do they have much help? That's why I question the Jahan Dotson thing is, you're taking away a potential chess piece, right? And the job that Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury, in my opinion, the job was, all right, this is a chess piece who has produced in the past, who's produced more than everybody else besides Terry McLaurin on that receiving core. We got to figure out how to best utilize that chess piece.
I was pooping.
Going to the bathroom or something. I mentioned there were two things about Jahan Dotson. One, and I don't know Barstool Nate's sources, but he showed a tweet that he sent last year to J.P. Finley saying Jahan, he's hearing that Jahan has some attitude issues.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also, and I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but on social media, people noted an old tweet where he called the Saquon Barkley move a mutt move, which is Madden Ultimate Team, and that he was jocking the Eagles. People found that kind of curious.
Mm.
So we just don't know what happened. Like, you can say, well, he wasn't producing, the other guys are better, but we don't know. Like, you brought up the body language thing that B. Mitch had brought up. We don't know about the attitude and all those type of things. Jason theorizing first-round pick may feel like it's beneath him to be competing for a job.
I think
like
all those things are true.
Yeah.
I think every single thing that you said is true.
I mean, we could have. I had heard from one person, one source, that he was a great guy.
Yes,
and that person might think that. But Cliff Kingsbury, Dan Quinn, they might think the complete opposite about him. We have no idea.
They have only said glowing things to their credit.
Yeah, I mean,
doesn't mean that's necessarily what they think, but they've only said glowing things. My counter to the chess piece argument is, sure, he's a chess piece. They decided he's a pawn, and we got like 10 of them.
Right, he might be a pawn.
Yeah, he ain't a queen.
He looked like a.
He's not even a silly bishop.
He looked like maybe a bishop.
He's not a rook.
Last year, he looked like a pawn.
No, we got 10 guys just like him.
Yeah,
that's the count.
That may be true. Hey, when we hit the skins, brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case? Sipping a refreshing 12-ounce can. Grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Junkies for 10% off. And remember, don't sleep. Makes you great.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.